Glory.
God is good. He'll be Holy Ghost shuffling soon. Yeah, that would have been nice when we were little if somebody prayed over us like that, huh? That's all we got was a sign of the cross. You know, hallelujah. But God knew. Amen. God knew. Yeah, he knew all the way. He knew we'd have to come new. Would you turn to the book of Exodus? praise God. Exodus, it's in the Bible. If I can think right. Glory. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Okay, Exodus chapter 1. We'll go to 2 in a minute, okay? The word Exodus. Exodus means mass departure. It means evacuation. It means flight. It means migration or immigration. The word Exodus. And there are three major Exoduses I want to share that the Spirit had given me this morning. And the parallels and the preparations of things that Jesus is doing. In Exodus chapter 1, in verse 15, it says, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shephar, and the name of the other was Paroh. And he said, when you do the duties of the midwife for the Hebrew women, see them on the birth stools. If it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. It's called abortion. But the midwives feared God because they were Jews. They were Hebrews. And they knew that it was wrong. And did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for all the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So a decree went out from Pharaoh to kill all the male children. And in chapter 2 and verse 1 it says, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of a bushels for him, bulrushes, and bound it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it and laid it in the reeds of the rivers of the bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done of him. And then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it out. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said, go to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Now, I want you to look at the parallel, because Jesus, remember at that time, there was a decree when Jesus was born, and we'll go there, that all the male children were to be killed. And when Jesus was baptized, where did he come from? The water. Amen. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one, "Who did the wrong? Why are you striking your companion?" Then he said, "Who made you a?" And then they said to him, "Who made you a prince and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Well, word spread quickly, didn't it? So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. The same thing with Jesus. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. So we see something very powerful here in the parallels. Moses was drawn from the water, then Pharaoh was sought to kill him, wasn't he? His purpose for Moses being rescued was to rescue God's people. Amen? It was to rescue God's people. He was one that would lead the Exodus. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "And Moses was tending the flock of Jethro for his father-in-law, a priest of Midian, and he led the flock back to the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look up. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down, I've come what? Down, to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Pezites, Pezites, and the Hivites, and the Jezebites. Now, I want you to understand, he said, look it, I'm calling you to go to Egypt. Egypt represents the ruler of the world, the house of bondage. Pharaoh was the ruler of the world. Egyptians were ruling the world at that time. He says, I'm sending you to them to bring my people out. And I'm going to send them to a land filled with milk and honey. The problem is all the lands I'm going to send them to are giants. There are hybrids, offsprings of the Nephilim, the fallen angels. All the Hittites are the families of giants and offsprings of the fallen angels and the Nephilim. So everybody got it. So he said, I'm going to send your people into these lands. Now, I don't know if Moses knew all this yet or not, but... Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Again, Moses was sent by God to bring the children of promise out of the house of bondage. Because that's what the word Egypt is associated with, the house of bondage. Again, Egypt was ruling the world and Pharaoh was the ruler. That's why right now we have the spirit of Pharaoh ruling the world again. In Matthew chapter 2. So we see that the Lord was bringing an exodus. And this first exodus was to remove the individuals from the house of bondage. In Matthew chapter 2, in verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread, of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they had said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring him back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Of course, he lied. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child, not baby. When they saw the star, they rejoiced in exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The young child, not baby. Why? Because Jesus was around 2 years old now. So I want you to know what we celebrate right now, on what we celebrate Christmas, is actually associated when the wise men came and found Jesus. He was already 2 years old. Because it's most likely that Jesus was born on the Feast of Trumpets, which is in September. But we're not going to get into all that today. Hallelujah. But it's okay. We can still celebrate it anytime we want. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by the night and departed for Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under. Does everybody get it? Why? Because Jesus was around 2 years old then. According to the time which he had determined from the wise men, then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, a voice he had heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now, again, here we see Jesus comes in, and it's the same thing as happened with Moses. Why? Because Jesus was called to bring an exit to his people. So everybody got it? All right, go to John chapter 3, the Exodus. Oh, hallelujah. Mass departure. Evacuation. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Famous scripture, John 3:16. Would you read it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let's continue on. He who believes in him is not condemned. Now, what's the word believe mean? Follow. So you can't say that you believe in Jesus and not follow him. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their evil deeds were, their deeds were what? Evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. So, you got to think, what is practicing evil? People don't realize what practicing evil is. Pornography, fornication, adultery, all of these things. Drugs, alcohol, all of these things are practicing evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in God. In other words, when you're doing something you gotta hide, you know it ain't right. Amen? You know it's not right. So we have an exodus here. Now, Jesus came to save the world, but the exodus here is from the exodus of evil. It's the evil self. It was an exodus from the evil self. The first exodus was from the house, the bondage, from the evil. So we're coming out of the world, right? We come out of the world. Now we got to come out of ourself. So Jesus said, I'm giving you the authority, the power. I'm going to anoint you with my spirit so you can overcome yourself, your areas of the old man, that of the desires of this world. Go to John 14 in verse 1. Exodus. The Exodus. In verse 1, let's read it together. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You follow God. You'll be all right. You follow the Lord, you're going to be okay. He says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a what? Place for you. That's an exodus, isn't it? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be what? You may be also. Yes, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. So he's saying, look, and I'm preparing another place for you because I've been sent to bring an exit for you. Amen? And in this, we see again that area that the first exodus was from the house of bondage, which is coming out of the world. The second exit is coming out of yourself because he says you must be born again. You've got to get another spirit, a new one. You get a spirit by the Lord. And the old man. So now there's an exodus from yourself, the old man. And Matthew, or 1 Thessalonians 4. Now there's a third exodus. It's called the rapture. And this is the next event that will occur. It will be the fulfillment of the feast of the Lord. It will be the trumpet, the feast of trumpets. This will be the next exodus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, or 13, sorry. Is everybody there? We'll wait for you, Frank. Anybody else need a little bit of time? First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Thank you. Let's read it together. But I do not want you to be an idiot, or ignorant, I'm sorry. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. He calls them fallen asleep because even though they've died, they're really not dead. They're more alive now than they were here. So everybody got that. And now these are believers, all right? These are ones that are following the Lord, not the ones that didn't follow the Lord during torment. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So he's talking about he's going to bring them with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have slept or fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God fulfilling the feast of trumpets. And the dead in Christ will rise first. So what he's going to do, he's going to bring their spirits with him. Their bodies that have gone back to dust will be raised wherever they are. I don't care if they've been cremated. God knows exactly where that dust is. And he's going to take that body and turn it into a glorified body. And he's going to put that person's spirit into that body. And that person has become angelic. Has everybody got it? Okay. That's the ones who have already gone and died or are asleep. It says, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. The word caught up means raptured. Together with the Lord in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I'm going to confirm this by going to 1 Corinthians, I think, 15. Where is it? Second? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. This is the confirmation of the final exodus for us. This will be the body of Christ, those who are following the Lord. not those who are have one foot in and one foot out. Not that those. They won't make this. You must be fully sold out. And verse 50, let's speak it together. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Yeah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the what? At the last trumpet. That's that feast of trumpet being fulfilled. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This is called the rapture. This is the next event that is going to happen with the body of Christ. We will be removed from the world. So we see the first exodus was the exodus of coming out of the world but still living here. The second exodus is coming out of yourself from the old man to a new living man. He who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's the second exodus. And the third exodus is coming out of this realm. And that's what awaits us next. Amen? Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And we know that we have a daily battle constantly to come out of ourselves. Amen? That's a continuous thing. And Matthew 28, in verse 18, would you read it with me? And Jesus said, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So he said, go out and make disciples. Why? So that we become like-minded. Does everybody get that? Like-minded. 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 Now, you can't become like-minded if you're not in the Word and you're not in God's presence and you're not in fellowship. It is impossible. You can play all the religion you want, but the requirement is to be discipled and become like-minded. Is everybody with me? Go to Mark 16. Mark 16, 16. That was the commission Jesus gave before he exited. Amen? So this is our commission, is to make disciples. That's why we're here, to get people trained up, to become soldiers of the Most High God. 16, 16, he who believes or follows and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe or follows will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Hello? In my name, they will what? Cast out demons. Wow. They will cast out demons. They're going to cast out demons. Means there's a battle against the demonic realm. There's a battle. Keep your finger here and go to 1 Chronicles chapter 20 while we're speaking of casting out demons. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. You still got your finger in Mark 16, right? Good. In verse 4, 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 4, would you read it with me? Now, it happened afterward that what? War broke out. How many of y'all know that casting out demons is a part of war? Yeah. And war broke out at Gezer with the Philistines. Now, the Philistines were also known as giants. They were offsprings of the Nephilims. At which time, Sabakiah and the Hushatite killed Sappai, who was one of the sons of the what? Giant. They were subdued. Again, there was war with the Philistines, and Elihan, the son of Jair, killed Lamai, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose beam was like a weaver's beam. Yet again, so we're seeing that the wars were breaking out. There was a war against the giants. They weren't casting out demons then. They were killing the ones who were with them. Has everybody got it? They were killing these individuals. That's why it's so many people get freaked out when they say, well, God was a mean God. No, he wasn't. He was killing all that were produced off the offsprings of the fallen angels and the seed of the serpent. And verse 6, yet again there was war in Gath, where there was a man of great stature. Come on, read it with me. with 24 fingers and toes, six on each hand and six on each foot. And he also was born to the giant. So then he defied Israel. Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, killed him. Now, I want you to know that David's family was anointed to kill him. Remember, David killed Goliath? Hello? Because it's the anointing that kills. Jesus said, and I will anoint you, and the gates of hell won't prevail against you. Hello? And now, these were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now, Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Now, let me tell you, when you start doing stuff and start messing with Satan's kingdom, he's going to move against you. That's why you got to be a first striker. You move against him first before he can move against you, and you'll always keep him at a distance. Not the soulish foolishness, oh, Lord, I need. Oh, I call fire down. I bind blind, mute, and deaf. You must be a warrior. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember, the commission was go out to disciple. Keep your finger at Mark 16. We ain't done yet. We're not done yet. 2 Timothy. Glory. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember, Jesus gave us the commission before his exodus to make disciples, soldiers, and warriors. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? You therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In other words, commit these to faithful individuals who are sold out, who are like-minded, who are dedicated to the house of God, who are dedicated to committing and expanding the kingdom of God, that they may become like-minded. Give these to faithful individuals so that they can go and train others to become like-minded. You therefore, verse 3, you therefore must endure what? Hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in the warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So Jesus says, look it, if you really want to be a soldier and you really want to be used by me to disciple, then you must not allow yourself to be entangled with the affairs of this world. Now you may think I'm using you, and I'll use a donkey, he says. I'll use anyone, but those who will stand before me and receive a reward must be used according to my will, not theirs. So we see here there's something powerful. He says, don't entangle yourself in the affairs of this world if you want to be a soldier of mine. This is where people get entangled in emotional attachments. They get entangled in religion. They get entangled in lusts. They get entangled in things in the world. And they don't fulfill the call as being a soldier and cannot fulfill the commission to go out and disciple or be an example. And here is the example. Mark 16, 16. These individuals have been discipled. And he who believes, these signs will follow those who believe. In 17, in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hand. They will take up serpents. And they will drink anything deadly or by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is a discipled individual. This is one who's been discipled. Is everybody okay? In 1 John chapter 2. And what are they casting out? Let me tell you, those demons came from those giants that David slew. So those were the bodies of them. Then their spirits left them, which became demons. Now we're to cast out the demons. While they, see, they slew the bodies. They were carriers of the demons. We don't slay the bodies anymore. But we'll get into all that later. Because there will be some that we will slay. Because they're not really human. But praise God. We'll get into that on another teaching. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2. Let's get through this verse, okay? Glory. Oh, people have no idea what's going on. You know what I'm saying? They have no idea what's going on in the world. They don't even know who their neighbor is. They're shaking hands and working for people, doing all kinds of stuff out there, not really knowing who they are. Most of them don't know who they are personally. They look in the mirror and there's six faces. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. So our entanglements for the exit, look at, the enemy wants to prevent you from the exit. He wants to prevent you from coming out of the house of bondage. He wants to prevent you from coming out of yourself. And he wants to prevent you from the true exit in this realm and the eternal realm. So we cannot entangle ourselves in the affairs of this world. He says this in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So if you're not doing the will of God, you will not abide forever. Amen? Little children, is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. Antichrist. Antichrist. These are not human. And I'm not going to get there today. Have come. They are here with us, among us, living among us, infiltrating fellowships and churches and all kinds of things. Their purpose is to bring destruction to the body of Christ, to fight against God and oppose his will, and to deceive and sway as many people as possible. The ruler is of this world, who's Lucifer and his kingdom and Satan. His main power is deception, isn't it? I mean, his that's his weapon, and his power is fear. So he wants to keep people deceived. He wants to keep them busy, never thinking about these things, never realizing, keeping the blinders on so they don't look beyond the physical realm, always keeping me, myself, and I. That's where he wants you, to prevent you from the exit. Because if you don't deny yourself, if you don't pick up the cross, and if you don't follow, you won't make the exit. You'll think you're a believer and you're a good person. Oh, God, why did you leave me? Because you didn't follow me. But I believed in your name. Well, if you believed in my name, you would have followed me. Little children, it's the last hour, and have you heard that the Antichrist is coming? Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing. The eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. From the Holy One, and you know all these things. Why don't they know them? Because they're not walking in the anointing. They're not walking in the anointing. Listen, we cannot be entangled in the affairs of this world. Listen, it's our responsibility, and I'm going to share something with you, to keep the anointing activated. It's our responsibility to keep the anointing activated. See, the anointing is there, but we got to keep it activated. You can't keep it activated going to church once a week. It ain't going to work. It just doesn't work. And it's not about just going to church. You've got to be able to get filled yourself if you can't make it in fellowship. There's a special anointing in corporate. The reason why we do 3 fellowship gatherings a week is because it is needed to keep the anointing activated. That's why. This is why the Lord has set this up. We come on a Friday night, we get smashed. We get saturated on Friday night, right? Then we come Sunday, and whatever we begin to overspill or use from Saturday, we get refreshed again. And then we come Tuesday and get refilled so we can make it to Friday. So you can stay enjoying drunk. So the cares of this world don't mess with you. It don't matter. See, you don't have to go drink, smoke dope, and whatever, and fornicate. You're enjoying. You don't need the things of the devil to get you high. You got the presence of God to get you high. There's a difference. And that's going to take abiding, isn't it? Mark 4. This is what happens. These are some of the things that happen to people. We want to make the exodus, man. Mark chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Are you learning something? We learn all the time, don't we? And what we forget, we get refreshed on. You know, look it. God wants us back from in that zealousness and joyfulness like when you first got saved. Yes! I'll do anything! After a few years, I'll get to it. No, I never want to lose the zeal of the Lord. Never. I'd rather go home because I'm no good to anybody or myself. Oh, glory. In Mark 4:13. And Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Would you read it with me? The sower who sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now that's what he's going to attempt to do as soon as you leave this fellowship. It's going to try to tell you, this guy is nuts. I don't need all this stuff. I'm content with what I got. Look what I've worked for. Look what I have. I don't need to do it. Does everybody get it? Watch how he does this. That's why the serpent is known as the most cunning beast God created. And what does he do? When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. He pulls it right out because they're not even paying attention. They have no intent really to use it or protect it. They get tickled while they're here, and then they leave and do the same old thing over. These, likewise, are the ones sown on the stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Yes, we're all excited. But they have no root in themselves. So endure only for a time. After when tribulations, when any kind of conflict comes or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. They usually run. They usually blame God, the pastor, whatever. You know, they run because they have not allowed the word to take root. And it says in verse 17, and they have no what? Roots. They have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, the words for the word's sake, they immediately stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. Now, these are the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for the other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But there are those and the ones the word falls on good ground. They hear the word. They accept it. They bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. In other words, there are those who are on the wayside. The devil comes and pulls out of the heart. On stony ground, thorns, cares of this world. They're more concerned about losing their things that they've worked so hard for instead of upkeeping the things of God. They've exchanged it. And there are those who hear, accept, and do. Why? Because they trust and they obey. Has everybody got it? They are fulfilling the denial of self, pick up the cross, and follow. Why? Because that second exodus must be maintained of exiting yourself, your will, your emotions, your feelings, all of the other things that the enemy tries to implement. See, your feelings, your emotions will be exchanged by God's presence, and you will have peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. See, but without God's presence, there's no exchange of those things. You're still looking for fulfillment in someone or something or works. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Exodus. Oh, hallelujah. So this is what he says. He says, look, if you really want, okay, in the abiding, it's going to give you the strength and the power because you're going to be backed by the anointing. You're going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not your own. You're going to be saturated with God's presence. You're going to know his word. You're going to know what pleases him. Amen? You're going to know. He says this. He says in verse 14, so look, let me help you with this. He said, do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. Listen, when people are not ready to be unplugged of the world, they're your enemy. They're your enemy. It's just a matter of time where they're going to turn on you. Listen, when I got unplugged from the world, my parents that were religious, they kind of turned on me because they didn't understand the things. Why are you giving all your money? And we're feeding, clothing, and sheltering. Just give a little bit. What are you doing? Because they believed that Jesus was the Savior, but they had no relationship with God. So they had a form of religion. They went to church, and going to church, you go to some dead churches, you ain't getting nothing. They pass around a bucket, throw a few. People don't know conviction. 10%, I'm going to tithe. There's no conviction of tithe. They just, I'll get a few bucks here. There's no thought of what they're really doing. There's no conviction because you're convicted in God's presence. He said, come out from, don't be unevenly yoked with an unbeliever. An unbeliever who says, hi, I'm a Christian, but I ain't following. That's an unbeliever. You know how many people marry and get unevenly yoked? Well, I married them for good intentions, but now I'm going to kill them. Hello. Listen, if your wife or your future wife or future husband has no desire to follow the Lord, run, because you're going to end up in trouble. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, it says, if you'll do this, if you'll what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. You know what's unclean. You know what it is. Don't touch what's unclean, and I'll receive you. That reestablishes relationship. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Revelation 18. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 18. In verse 1. Right now, the ruling system is called Babylon. It's the same ruling system that Nimrod ruled. Oh, hallelujah. I could go deep in that, but I'm not going to. Bunch of religious garbage. Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become a dwelling place of what? Demons, and a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of their fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Come out of her. In other words, exit her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. And the cup which she mixed double for her. And the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen. Hello? I sit as queen, like queen of heaven. Hello? Nimrod's religion. And am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Yeah. Babylon, the world system, house of bondage, known as the Matrix. Revelation 12. In verse 10, start at verse 7. Remember, there's a war going on, right? Verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. They did not love their lives to death. Serious death. They were serious. Amen. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell on them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a what? He has a what? Short time. There's our war. There's our battle. And I'm going to close in Revelation 3. The Exodus. Don't miss it. So we want to come out of Babylon, the world system. Amen? Don't be entangled in the affairs of this world. As a soldier, you cannot be. It doesn't mean we're not in the world. We're infiltrating the world. Amen? Paul said, I became many things that many could be saved. So you may look like part of the world out there, but within you, you're not. I'm not of this world. This ain't my home. It's not where I belong. I'm uncomfortable here. The only place I'm comfortable in is God's presence. Revelation 3, verse 14. The angel of the Church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Ouch. He says, why aren't you zealous for me? Why aren't you zealous for my house? Why aren't you zealous? Why are you more zealous for your money? Why are you more zealous for your works? Why are you more zealous for your own arts? Why are you more zealous for everything else than me? He says, you're either lukewarm or you're cold. He says, and if you're not hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I'd say if he vomits you out of his mouth, you will miss the Exodus. Verse 17, because you say, I am rich and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are miserable, wretched, and blind, and poor, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. What you're getting right now is gold refined in fire. That you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that's the anointing, so that you can see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And to him who what? Overcomes every day, overcomes the battle, overcomes the ways of the world, overcomes to be Exodus. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. It's a mighty big throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. How many of y'all want to sit on the throne with the Lord? Come on, man, there's enough room. There's plenty of room for all of us. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says today. Now may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you, and may the seed be protected by the blood of the Lamb, and may it grow and bear fruit for his glory. I pray that the enemy not steal the seed that's been parted in your heart today. I bind him, blind him, mute him, and deaf him. But you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.